last time over in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 we read, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand on the majesty on high, being made much better than the angels, as he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now normally I have over the past 30 some years, each and every last Lord's Day in the month of October, focused on a theme of the Reformation. I've done something different today. I'm doing something different. I'm going to do something different. Because the whole message that we began a new book last week with a general overview of its content, as the book of Hebrews speaks of the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ, his preeminence over all, over the angels, over Moses, over Aaron, and the priesthood of the Old Testament, because Christ is the only mediator between God and man, who is prophet, priest, and king. And we began to look at that in a general way, and then began to look in verse 1 at the first few words. I'm going to continue that in the light of a Reformation message, and I'm going to develop that as I began last week. I'm going to develop it this week, and Lord willing, probably next week, and the week after, and the week after, and the week after that. I mentioned this in Sunday school. As we come down, as we look at the revelation of God as himself, and in creation, and then through the Word, and the spoken Word, and the written Word, and then, of course, in the Word Christ Jesus. Because I think it's important, I think that's what is contained here and throughout the Scripture. And certainly, even before we consider the glory of God or Christ alone, the message of the Reformation, or grace alone, or faith alone, or the Word of God alone, we must deal with some of the very basic and foundational truths that revolve around God himself as God and in his standards that the church has failed and is failing to understand and to preach in our own day. We can't deal with justification by faith alone if we don't understand the authority of God and the authority of God's Word and the standards of Scripture. So think of this as a protracted Reformation Sunday that will take a number of Sundays, Lord willing, as far as we can go with this message. We have noted last time the words of this opening verse of Hebrews, the first chapter. It's impressive, and it certainly has brought to mind, as we have noted, many other of the words, the first words of Scripture, whether it's in John chapter 1, or in other of the New Testament epistles, but particularly as it reminds us of the opening of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now this is not accidental. It's not a coincidence. Everything that we read in Scripture is by God's ordination and grand design and purpose. For it begins to teach us the things that we need to know first and foremost of God. One of the first things that Calvin said really was the basis of his Institutes of the Christian Faith, the Institutes of Religion, that he wrote were the two things that we needed to know, that everyone needed to know. And the first one was, of course, the knowledge of God. Without a knowledge of God, people will perish. And God has not left us in the dark. He has revealed himself, the first principle of our biblical faith, of the Christian faith, is the fact that God has revealed himself. And we must understand that revelation of himself as he has revealed himself in each and every way that he has chosen to do. And not only has he revealed himself as God, the eternal and everlasting God, sovereign God, he also has revealed himself, of course, in Genesis chapter 1, as we read it, and here, even in this particular chapter, even in chapter 1 that we read last week, read through the whole chapter, we recognize God is first revealing himself as the creator of heaven and earth. And of course, as we look further at that truth, whether it's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and following, or whether it's in John chapter 1, verse 1 and following, or here in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 or following, we recognize that God reveals himself not only as sovereign creator, but he reveals himself as the creator through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Son, appointed and anointed and ordained of God, as we read here in this first chapter, is heir of all things, who the Apostle John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes on to tell us exactly what we read here in this chapter. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that made that was made. And so we read here in Hebrews chapter 1, speaking of the Son, as God speaks to us in creation and providence and speaks to us in written form, he speaks to us also through his Son. Notice in verse 2, he hath in the last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Notice that last phrase, by whom also he made the world. Now, we're all familiar, again, with that very classic chapter, that glorious passage in Hebrews chapter 11, that not only gives us the testimony of faith, the faith of those who went before, but begins to unfold and unravel and define, unpack the whole idea, the basis of the faith, the Christian faith. Biblical faith, saving faith. And even in that marvelous 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, as it speaks about faith, it also speaks about the creation of all things by God. But particularly, I suggest to you, it speaks to us of the particular creation, not only by the Father and the Holy Spirit, but the creation of all things through Jesus Christ. And so we read in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now again, with that verse and any verse in the Bible, there are so many things that we can glean from it, and that we can learn from it as we compare Scripture with Scripture. Now certainly, if we wanted to, we could, and we should, and we will, when we get there, speak about the significance and the importance and the essential nature of faith itself. And the understanding of faith, or that understanding that comes through biblical faith, that faith that's granted to us as a gift, that faith that comes by and through the Holy Spirit, that enables us to see everything in its proper perspective or in its real sense. That when we look at the creation of God or the witness of God or the revelation of God in the creation of all things, as you drive on 195, or as you drive from work, and as you look around at the leaves, and as you pick up a leaf and look at the leaf, look at your own hand, look at the eye, look at the heavens, look all around. Now we understand. We understand from the biblical record that we who are of faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, are able to see clearly these things and to glorify God. So we see the importance and the necessity of saving faith in regard to our understanding of all these things. Faith. But we're not here speaking necessarily of faith, and we don't want to unfold that any further than it relates to the subject matter that we have on hand, that God at sundry times and in divers manners speak. Let's see, Hebrews 1 and John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1 that speaks to us of God's witness in creation also brings out in it the fact that God spoke all things into being. Not only did he bring things into being out of nothing, there's a great deal of significance in the phrase that I just read to you from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, when we read that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now we understand what the Word of God is. He spoke. But it's not, again, incidental or accidental that the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of the apostles, wrote to us about that word of creation in chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it's not just a quirk of language that the Apostle John, when he wrote his great Gospel of John, speaks of the eternal Son as the Logos, the living Word that not only was with God from all eternity, but was God himself, that through him and in him were all things made. So there's a play on, there's a definite play on words by divine intention here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, and John chapter 1, in those first three verses of John's Gospel. Now, so we recognize the importance of God speaking and God's divine revelation. But God's divine revelation spoken is a word spoken in his power and his wisdom through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the worlds were framed not only by the Word of God, the worlds were framed through him who is, was, and ever shall be our Savior and our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why in Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes so beautifully in verse 16 in describing again the preeminence of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only its prominence and his excellence, but his preeminence by saying in that description, and you have to read that first chapter, verse 14 and 15, before you get to verse 16, that says, for by him, the him, of course, is Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, for by him were all things created, that was made. Everything in heaven and earth was created by him and in him. So as we set down before us the revelation of God in and of himself, we recognize also, as we read the scripture, we have to have the scripture to understand these things, and then we have to have the light of the Holy Spirit to teach us these things. We are seeing not only the doctrine of creation through the manifestation of what he has created in wisdom and power, but in light of the Holy Scripture, we're understanding the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrine of Christ. So when we read, I'm very serious about this, when we read over, whether it's again in the words of John the Apostle in his first epistle, or whether it's in his second epistle, about the importance and the significance and the essential nature of the teaching of Christ and the teaching about Christ, when he tells us over in John chapter 9, or 2 John, verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, that we have to discern from Scripture, we have to glean from Scripture what is being taught to us concerning the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine not only of him and from him, but the doctrine or the teaching concerning him. So if John and his Gospel and Paul in Colossians and here in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and then again in chapter 11 and all through the scripture, there are a number of other scriptures, of course this is taught to us, but principally in these verses that tie in so beautifully, speaking about God as the Word has created all things. Part of the essential, significant, important, how else can I say, essential, foundational, basic doctrine of Christ includes creation. So those who have or abide or who believe in and confess the doctrine of Christ, which of necessity speaks to us of the creation of all things, the creation of all the world, the heaven and the earth, and all things contained in them. He that abideth, of course it's in the negative over here, in John, St. John 7, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. This is probably one of the clearest statements of Scripture. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. It's the same thing that John the Apostle, or the Holy Spirit through John the Apostle, taught us over there in the first chapter of the Epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 23, when he says, Whosoever hath the Son, or whosoever denieth the Son, rather, denieth the Father. So we make this beautiful connection, or rather the Scripture makes this beautiful connection, even in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, that 8th chapter, which is a beautiful chapter that Jesus is presented and his discussion and his teaching as he confronts the Jews, and particularly the religious leaders, is recorded for us, and their boast that they are God's people because of their inheritance rather than by the will of God. In John chapter, it's a marvelous chapter with all that it contains, but in the 8th chapter, in the 31st verse, Jesus says this beautiful thing. He says, if you continue in my word, in other words, if you abide in my word, if you believe in the word, if you continue to believe in the word, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now there's a lot in this chapter, certainly a lot in these two verses. One of being, of course, that the word of God is the truth, and nothing but the truth. Jesus said to us in his great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, it's easy to remember, 17:17, as he prayed for us, he prayed for his disciples and those who would believe in him through their word. That means he prayed for us. Jesus had in mind you and me. And he prayed for the ongoing work of God in us by the Holy Spirit, that we might be set aside continually and separated to him, and that we might be sanctified. And he prays, of course, how that takes place through the Holy Spirit, sanctify them through thy truth. And then he identifies that truth as the word of God, as the truth. And we have it here in Scripture from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. To hear in Hebrews chapter 1, when it tells us God at sundry times and in divers manners spoke unto the fathers through the prophets, and then in these last days through his Son Jesus Christ, who made all things. See? So the doctrine of creation, go back to this, the doctrine of creation is an essential part of the doctrine of Scripture, the doctrine of Christ. So to leave out or to change in any way any of the doctrines that relate to Christ, whether it's his vicarious atonement, whether it's his representative as a prophet, priest, and king, whether it's his perfect life or his perfect sacrifice on the cross, or his ascension in the glory, any of those which we recognize are so essential to the gospel. Again, the work of creation. The work of creation is foundational. Again, it's not an accident or incidental to the revelation of God in Scripture that the record of creation comes first, and not in the middle or later on. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3 are placed at the beginning because of the essential nature to the whole revelation of who God is and what God has done. And then the second thing that Calvin said we had to know, and it's only as we know the first are we able to know the second, the knowledge of God and then the knowledge of man. And the knowledge of God and the knowledge of man begins with the knowledge of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God at sundry times and in divers manners spake. He revealed himself. So any who would distort or change or not recognize that it pleased God for his own glory, the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for the manifestation of his glory and his eternal power and wisdom and goodness in the beginning to create or make of nothing the world and all things in the space of 6 days, visible and invisible, and that all very good. quotation from the Westminster Confession. That expresses the very basis of the revelation and the truth, just the very beginning and foundation of what we acknowledge to be true according to the Scripture, the basis of our faith, the revelation of God. So if you, in any sense, in any way, question or cast into doubt or deny the scriptural doctrine of the revelation of God in the creation of all things in the space of 6 days, you are questioning and denying or rejecting, how else can I say that? The doctrine of Christ and the revelation of God and the authority of God in Holy Scripture. So it's no light matter when we speak about these things. It's no light matter for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to confess the truth of Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and Genesis 3. And any individual or church, individually or corporately in fellowship, cannot and does not confess the truth of the revelation of God and the authority of God as the creator and sustainer of all things that begins within the beginning God created, is no longer the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but is disintegrated and become, as we are taught in the book of Revelation, a synagogue of Satan. We cannot and we must not compromise or take of little value or reject or neglect the doctrine of divine revelation, which consists first and foremost of the revelation of God as creator of all things in the revelation of his wisdom and his power and his Godhead in creation. It's no accident, again, that as Paul lays out his beautiful case by the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit through Paul speaks of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that brings men in a saving relationship to him in the first chapter of the book of Romans, unfolds the sinfulness of man and the ignorance of man willingly against the truth of God, in suppressing the righteousness of God, in suppressing the truth of God and holding it under because of the nature of sin and the bondage of sin through Adam and our own sin. But he begins to say this in the unfolding of the glorious nature of the gospel. For I'm not ashamed, he says, of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. For this blessed verse that played such a mighty place in the heart and mind of Luther and in the Reformation, for of which we certainly preached on in October before, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as written, the just shall live by faith. And then look at the context in which we find these glorious statements. Then he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. God is revealing himself. He has spoken. He has spoken. He has spoken in creation. Now I'm not saying, and we'll see that as we go on with this, that we'll understand his grace or his mercy or Christ or salvation first through the divine revelation of creation. But yet God has spoken through creation. We have to heed that record of creation, but not only the record of creation apart from, but rather attached to the written record of the Word of God, because immediately in Hebrews chapter 1, when we speak about God and the existence of God, speaking of his power and his glory, his majesty and his sovereignty as a personal, living, and true God, we go on that he spoke. And even in the record of creation, when he spoke the words that brought light out of darkness and all things that are out of that which was not, he immediately began to speak. He spoke to Adam, and he spoke later to Eve. So we have a record. And the only way we understand that full revelation in creation is through the Word of God. And we'll say, Lord willing, not this week, but next week, in the week, the importance of that record as it speaks to creation both in the Old and New Testament. But then in verse 18 in Romans, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God and suppress the truth of God." Well, what truth of God? Paul again doesn't leave us in the dark. We don't have to guess or say, no, what in the world is he talking about? He lays it all out very plainly and clearly to us. Because, verse 19, that which may be known of God is manifested in them. Now, we're studying Hebrews, not Romans, but they're all connected. And what we're going to learn and what we do learn and what we have learned before from the book of Romans, Paul speaks about what man in general ought to know about God, that God has given him a witness. Because one, he's been made in the image of God. And you can go, and I've heard a testimony even when I was a kid, from missionaries who went to the darkest parts of the world, who never a missionary ever was. And when they spoke to even the pygmies in Africa, they had a sense of the divine, the sense of a superior being. When they said to the missionaries who were long dead, this is some 50 years ago, that they had someone inside telling them the difference from right and wrong. God's given the conscience, and Paul speaks about that. And then, of course, he goes on to say he also has given a witness of himself through creation. How important creation is in understanding who God is, the standard of God, and the sin of man, and the standards by which God holds in order to preach the gospel and the revelation of God in Scripture, and then the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. You have an empty gospel. You have an empty message if you don't begin with the doctrine of creation and are not able to reaffirm the scriptural teaching regarding the creation of all things in the space of 6 days. And the historic record that's laid out for us in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and Genesis chapter 3, along with the rest of Scripture. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them, he's openly showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Of course, we're talking about natural revelation. Or creation revelation. Of course, what has God revealed through these things? And he just as described, he tells us there is design and there is purpose in all these things. So there's a designer before it and above it. Things just didn't happen out of nothing, because before everything is. Before everything is that is, there was God. God, the eternal, everlasting, personal, living God who had purpose, design. You know, I read many times, I've read or quoted from the book of Revelation that speaks to us very clearly that God has made everything, and he's made everything for his pleasure. for his purpose. His purpose is to design these things. They're to serve him. And then it goes on. I'm almost done for today. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. This is so basic to us, but yet this is where we need to begin again. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that, and God had a purpose in the revelation of self through creation, first and foremost, is to reveal his power and his glory and his majesty and his sovereignty, and second, to leave men without excuse. And then we read, do we not, in the beautiful Psalms, when we read in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. And then the psalmist goes on to tell us there's no speech or language in all the earth where God has not given himself a witness and a testimony that he is, that there is a God, and that he is sovereign, and he's full of wisdom and full of power. Not the remotest parts of the earth, to the darkest corners of the earth. No language, no people, no kindred, no tribe, no individual that God has not set within him and around him the general witness that he is pleased to give of himself in creation, that there is a God that he will have to deal with. And in the last day, he cannot claim he is never known or heard. Now we recognize, I'm not saying, because Paul doesn't say it, that revelation of creation is a revelation of the glory of salvation, of the mercy of grace of Jesus Christ. That would come. That would come. And we'll see that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3. It comes when God speaks. He speaks words. And he speaks the eternal word, Jesus Christ. So the record of creation is insufficient to bring salvation, but the record of creation is not insufficient or not flawed or imperfect or sufficient to do and to fulfill the design that God gave in it and through it as he revealed himself as God in wisdom and in power. Again, we cannot neglect or ignore or reject the record of creation as we see it everywhere, and as it is again and again, Lord willing, we'll say, in the preaching of the gospel in the book of Acts, and even in the Old Testament, that God is creator of all things. Let's pray.